morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Democratic Perspective. I was talking to Mike before the show. Mike Cosentino is sitting across from me over there.
Good morning. Good morning. Over
and
here.
And this is our 36th show that we focus on education, and I'm sure we'll do, hopefully, 36 more.
Well, that's good. It's an important topic. I'm glad we're doing this.
We have two guests in the studio today.
We do.
From Yavapai College. Maybe you'll introduce them, Mike.
We do. We're going to talk to a couple of the leaders of Yavapai College this morning. We have Harold Harrington, the Yavapai College District Governing Board spokesperson. He's from District 2, and he's been on the board since 1999. We have Dr. Penelope Wills, who we're going to call Penny during the show at her request. Dr. Wills assumed the position of Yavapai College President in August 2011. She has a Ph.D. in higher ed from Michigan State. She has her master's in counseling from Miami University in Ohio and a bachelor's in education from the University of Cincinnati. Very good. Welcome all.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for coming all the way over, or in the case of Harold, you live in Cornville, right?
I live in Cornville, downstream Sedona. So
how many people from the college actually live over here in the Verde Valley, do you think?
Oh, there's quite a few people over here. You know, several hundred, I think. Oops, sorry. We got quite a few people live over here in the Verde.
All right. The controversy now is about Yavapai College's 10-year plan. The plan calls for spending 98%, 95%. We hear different figures of the capital budget is all going to be set over in Prescott and Prescott Valley. Meantime, you're closing the Sedona campus. People down in the Verde campus telling us you're cutting back there, that they're not getting the funds and support they need, the attention they need, and you're closing the Chino Valley campus, and you're putting in new campuses all over in Prescott.
Some of us, and please jump in here anytime you like, we feel that I'm looking at, and stepping back a little bit, the Prescott Valley area certainly should be well served by the main campus in Prescott. So it seems I'm having trouble understanding the cuts other than the state support. We can talk about that all day or on another show. But
the state support is a very small percentage of their budget.
Right. It was at 12% at one time. Now it's 2%. But approximately, but yes, please. So let's
jump in here.
I think it's what's
worth,
going on.
Why are we reflecting why we are talking about this today is because of the master plan, and that master plan basically began as a process back a number of years ago when the state funding did go down, like we were talking about it. When I came on the board, we were at about 21% state funding and thought that was abysmal.
That was in
1999. And I thought that was pretty abysmal because it was supposed to be 50%. Since that time, the state of Arizona has systematically transferred the responsibility for funding the community college system to the local tax base. That's what's gone on. So when we say that the state defunded the community college system, what that means is they quit paying, the state quit paying, and they expect the local tax base to pick that up. When that happened to us, there were several things we had to do at the college. Some of them were fairly unpleasant. We had to lay people off. We had to cut programs. We had to change the way we did a lot of things because we lost a lot of money out of our budget. So at that time, we said, we got to put together a plan. You know, we had a plan. We said, this is what's going to happen. This is what we believe we need to do to service the educational needs of the folks here in Yavapai County. We believe the growth is going to be this. And, of course, the economy tanked in 88 also. So,
but now the economy is getting better. The state is promising to give you more revenue.
No, they are not. No, they are not.
They're talking about it, right?
No, we just got cut again.
We just got cut again. So we put together a plan and say, You know, when things like this start happening to you and you have a plan, you've got two choices.
Who put together a plan, sir?
The college. We're working on putting together a revised plan. You got two choices. You either pretend like this isn't happening and continue to execute your plan, or you say, I got to have a different plan. I've been in business in this valley for better than 30 years, and I know that when I have a plan and the world doesn't match it anymore, it is exceedingly unlikely that the world is going to change to match my plan. So the college said, we've got to change our plan, and that's what we're attempting to do.
But the plan consists of spending 98% of your capital funds in Prescott, in the Prescott Valley. You're opening or have four campuses within a few miles of each other over there. You're selling off or planning to sell off the Sedona campus.
We're contemplating
that. And you folded, closed the Camp Verde campus. I actually took a course there. Wasn't an elaborate system, but at least you had classrooms, and certainly I took a course there. And the other thing is you're planning to close Chino Valley.
We're contemplating those.
Why, I guess the question people have in the Verde Valley, and the controversy is this. You're building stuff over in Prescott. You seem to have, to us, to have moved very, very far away from the community college model. And to us, community college model means accessibility. Why else do you have a community college unless it's close by, mm-hmm. as close as you can get it? It's affordable. You charge less than the state school. Has open admissions. You don't do well in high school, you get a second chance at a community college. You do well at community college, you go on to a university if you want to, or you can get technical training. And the other thing is community involvement. Mm-hmm. And it seems to many people in the Verde Valley that you're reducing accessibility. Affordability is fine, open admissions is fine, but there's not a community interaction with you folks. It, everything seems to be about Prescott Valley. That's the common impression. And I know, Harold, I respect the fact that you're live here in the Verde Valley, and you represent at least half your district is in the Verde Valley, and the other half is over on the other side. So what's the story?
Well, one of the reasons that there's a preponderance of contemplated spending on the other side of the mountain for this master plan is we just rebuilt this campus. We don't build things because we think we need them. We build them for a specific demand. The Verde Valley campus was just funded about $18 million to pretty much completely reorganize it. So we believe the best information we can get from professionals that look at this sort of thing are telling us, if we spend $18 million on the Verde campus, it will be prepared for what we need to do in the Verde Valley for the next 10 years. So we've already done that. So we've spent a lot of money over here already. We've got this campus up. If you've been up there, you'll see that it's basically a completely reorganized, in essence, new campus.
First time I was there, you barely even had a sign to where the campus was. And I hear there's some debate about that.
No.
But what about accessibility?
As compared to, you're talking about like...
Well, you cut out the Camp Verde campus, right, which was accessible to the folks down there. They contribute over $1 million a year to Yavapai College.
Right. We were renting a space from the Camp Verde School District to offer college courses there. And once again, what we do is we offer courses, and if we have people come to them, then we continue to offer them. If we have no demand for those courses, or we don't have people coming to the classes, it's difficult to continue to spend taxpayer money to pay for facilities and administrators and instructors when people aren't coming to take the classes. And that's what happened in Camp Verde. We just didn't have enough enrollment to be able to have it make sense economically to do it. Now, there's more to it than just efficiency. You know, I understand doing the wrong thing efficiently is not beneficial to anybody. We get that. But we really do have to be responsible. This is tax money. And we got to be really careful where we spend this. And when we're not getting a return for the taxpayers and educational benefit, we have to make tough decisions. Nobody ever wants to close anything. Nobody ever wants to lay anybody off.
Everything gets closed out of Prescott area, and nothing ever gets closed over there.
Yeah, can I just mention a few things?
Sure, go ahead.
Let's back up a little bit here. The 10-year campus master plan is just that, a 10-year over 10 years. It's our best way of looking into a crystal ball, looking at data, looking at enrollments, looking at population, looking at needs, et cetera, and saying, where should we be in 10 years? It's a plan. It is not set in concrete. So, okay, so it's just a plan to guide us. So,
but
now,
it's a plan that was adopted, right?
The concept was adopted. Each year, the board will go ahead and work with the capital improvements, et cetera, that they will fund that year. So we go ahead and present that to them in December, which we did. And this was a process that had a lot of community involvement, et cetera, all the way through it from last February, or March, actually, and then brought it to the board in December. And they approved the concept of the master plan, said, hey, here it is. Now we will start putting that into our capital budgets. Now, let me just take it the next step here with Sedona. A number of things are happening. One of the things, well, let's even back up. Let's go a little historical. Harold has mentioned the improvements on the campus here in the Verde Valley. It's ready to go. It wasn't ready to go beforehand.
And we appreciate the remedial spending on the Verde campus.
Right.
It had gone downhill. It didn't have proper air conditioning and sewage.
It didn't have a great water source.
And so we appreciate the fact that you spent money there.
Let's go to Camp Verde next. Camp Verde, just as Harold said, hey, here's some things that were happening. They asked us to go ahead and lease that space from the school district. But there was more to it than that. Not only the enrollment, et cetera, the enrollment actually continued, but it went over to something new to higher education. That time, all of a sudden, distance learning came into vogue, big time. And so, meaning that students were enrolling, but coming through distance ed. So you look at brick and mortar. I don't know if a college in the United States is not reevaluating where they have brick and mortar. So also, as I understand, that same space was asked or was used by now the vocational, the JTED. They wanted some space there to have an office or something there. So Camp Verde seemed very pleased about this arrangement that they were being served. We didn't need to rent that space, et cetera.
Couldn't have been expensive. You're just renting the space and having some teachers there. I saw the facilities are basically high school classrooms.
So it wasn't like we just picked up in the middle of the night and ran out. And the people of Camp Verde have not, when we talk to them, they seem pretty happy that they've got a campus close by, a comprehensive campus, not just a site, and that they can access that as well as go ahead and take distance ed. Now in Sedona, something different was happening, and as you heard from Mike, I've only been here about 2.5, almost 3 years. When I got here, I worked with Rob Adams, the mayor here, and said, hey, what's with the cultural park? And the cultural park could probably take up, probably if you did 36 stories on education, you've probably done 15 stories on the cultural park, or more. But here's the cultural park. There's two landowners in that, ourselves and a developer who bought it out of bankruptcy 10 years ago. We needed to get that solved. We needed to go ahead and be able to walk outside our doors and not be in violation because we only own between 2.5 and 5 feet around that building. No parking.
Mm-hmm. At the facility there told me there was actually no problem with parking, even though you're saying
yes, there is, because I have been personally worried that someone would give me a ticket there is no parking. It's very bad. We don't own it. And so it used to be in the CCNRs. And the CCNRs are now out. It's a confused mess. So here we have this. So the campus master plan is one thing. Solving the cultural park situation is another. And then we go ahead and look at some of the programs we had there. And over the years, the history of the Sedona Center have been that very few vocational programs make it and very few gen ed classes make it. Why? Because we have a number of students here, your workforce here tends to come from Cottonwood, Clarkdale. And so here we have that. The film industry or the film school that we had most recently there had been on the bubble for 5 years or more because the enrollment went up, down, et cetera. The film industry has changed markedly. And then from there, we had just within my short time, and I don't take it personally, but we had two directors of the Film Institute resign.
So one of them said that you violated your contract with them, that you basically destroyed the film program.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Took out a full page. Took out a full page out of the Red Rock.
I know. I know.
We're talking with Penny Wills, president of the Avapai College this morning, and at a recent meeting, public meeting, we talked about appraisal of this of the Sedona campus. Has that been appraised, and do we have a number on that?
I would imagine we do. Clint Yule would have that, and I can get that information for you.
Yeah, okay.
But well, what we're doing on a positive side, though.
So instead of closing the campus, I guess, what we're trying to get back to is what some people see. I mean, that's the other thing I want to say. Everybody here loves education.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody here loves the college.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're all on the same side. We just have a disagreement on how things are allocated.
You have zero funding for the Sedona campus, and you're planning to sell it off. That facility, I went out there yesterday to take another look at it. I took one class out there. If you sell that facility, we will never find comparable facilities like that in Sedona. There won't be anywhere else. There's not going to be a community room. There's not going to be that kind of classroom. Apparently you said you didn't like the classrooms because they were rectangular.
No, I did not say that. Okay. There isn't one rectangular classroom in there.
That's right.
So, no, let's go back to that. The two, at the time, I worked with Rob to found the Arts Sedona Arts Collaborative, which is now off and going. Judy Maloney is doing a great job with that and others. But I worked with them to go ahead and help form that. So here's the college involvement there. At the same time, the mayor was very diligent in trying to get the landowner back here, who had not visited Sedona for over 10 years. And Mike Tennyson is back. He lives in South Dakota. He's presently in Hawaii, et cetera. And he and I have been working very, very closely together to see what we could do, being the two landowners there, what we could do. He knows that my concern is parking, continuous acreage, and getting out to 89A. And so he knows that, et cetera. He's got some ideas. We're working through it. And if you can just hold on, we will probably have a very good announcement about that in about 3 weeks.
But you were, according to your own stuff, you were, own information, you were planning to sell that campus.
It is one of the considerations.
There's five.
To look at it.
It's one of the considerations. And we were told at the public meeting that if it was sold and there were still plans to sell it, it would be in year four, between year four and seven, by your financial officer. However, is there anything to prevent you from selling the campus in Sedona tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow my calendar is pretty full. I don't think I have time to sign papers, but the plan, Mike, the first step that's got to go is that Mike Tennyson's got to come back, and he and I will meet again. But we're working through this through our staff.
I've talked to people at Ollie. They love that space there.
They would love
that
space.
They love that facility.
Yes.
More and more community groups are using it. Probably in the past you haven't promoted it, but people in Sedona are always looking for community spaces, mm-hmm. meeting rooms, and so forth and so on. When we tried with a nonprofit that I work with, it was too complicated, too expensive. Mm-hmm. This was, almost 10 years ago.
Let's look and see what else we're doing here, though. Because
what happened with the film program? Why is he denouncing you guys? Then
he wanted to go ahead and evaluate faculty and run the entire program. It was not a partnership. And when he wanted to definitely run that. That is not how a college runs.
Who are we talking about? Dan Gordon?
Yes. And so that was a matter of a clarification with him. At the 11th hour, we asked him to please, or not at the 11th hour, before then, we had asked him to please work with the advisory committee that we have for every one of our programs to work with us on his ideas of what he wanted in that program. He refused and he left. And that's why we changed the name. He said, I don't want Gordon anywhere on that building, et cetera. When you have a program, you have an advisory committee. The advisory committee was very upset with what he was dictating. And he wasn't working as a peer with that advisory committee.
But the program hasn't gotten better once he's gone. It's gotten worse.
Not necessarily worse.
I'm told that local people recruited a number of film students and that they weren't accepted or they couldn't go.
That is not true.
Did you reduce the number of teachers?
No, that's not true.
You reduce the number of teachers, which caused a reduction in the students, and then you're canceling the program because, or you're, as you say, putting it under suspension because, what?
Well, let me fill, I don't mean to complete your sentences, but the program we went ahead, we decided to suspend the program for 1 year. Why? Because the film industry itself has said this is not the appropriate program. That's number one. Number two.
Who's the film industry?
The industry.
Some representative from the...
Some representative.
So,
a consultant.
As you look at that and you see what is going on, the film industry is under, as you well know, a lot of changes, as anything. And the advisory committee is to help that. Then
the
from there...
The students in the film school have won a whole bunch of awards.
They've won some.
I think nobody's arguing that.
Won a national award at a women's film festival. Yeah. She was trained there. She went to school there.
So
what was wrong?
Let me go back to this here.
The sponsor of the program left is one problem. You know, Dan Gordon took his program and went back east to some
Liberty. Yeah.
Liberty. Yeah.
Liberty.
So,
but it's under
didn't
this
take
year.
You long to find another school, right?
I don't know
probably
what he
several
does.
Years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, before
know.
He left.
Yeah.
The point is, these facilities, I just want to make sure you folks understand how important these facilities are to people in Sedona. We'll never be able to replace them. That 5 acres of land that you're talking about selling, if you sell it, it'll be very, very hard for us to ever get it for any public purpose. Mm-hmm. That facility out there is irreplaceable in Sedona. I've lived in Sedona now 10 years. There's no other place that will do what that program is doing as well. And I know from talking to people in Ollie that they're very, very concerned about what you folks are doing. Very, very concerned.
You know, Penny,
maybe wrongly. Maybe nothing's happening.
I think what they're looking for, what we're looking for, is some creativity in keeping it open and finding ways to keep serving Sedona, if not at the same level. Or an increased level of what's happened before. I understand we don't have the big picture, but it seems that the leaders are willing to abandon Sedona without creatively trying to find other ways to keep things open.
And Sedona contributes $6.6 million a year to Yavapai College. Sedona taxpayers pay as much to Yavapai College, which seems very distant and not doing much, as they do for the school system and for the fire department. So.
Can I talk now?
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, please do.
Okay. First of all, you've mentioned a building and a program. Okay. As you look at the building with the film school in it, and that building has beautiful sight lines and views, et cetera, they're blacked out for film school. So the program, I think we need to separate. That program was being reviewed for many years to say the viability, is it appropriate, et cetera. What we also want to do in the high schools, the Red Rocks High School and Verde Valley High School, have both asked if they can go ahead and feed into that. They can't, not under the present setup, because the program itself is in 10-hour blocks. A student in high school cannot take a 10-hour block and still complete the high school. So this is an opportunity for us to look at this thing, get it up to speed, have it be current, have people be able to get jobs out of this, to work with the high schools, et cetera. So that's the program. Building, as I said, we will look at that and go ahead, and that's part of the cultural park, solving that park and the issues around that we've been with for many, many years. Other things that we've done. 2 years ago, we didn't have any joint enrollment programs with Red Rocks High School. Now we have many. So over $100,000 is just spent on classes with Red Rocks that we pay for, and parents don't. The taxpayer doesn't. The student doesn't. This is another thing to go ahead and have students, again, back to education, to go ahead. There's nothing magical about 12 years of higher education or of education. If they're ready to take college courses, let's go ahead and get them in. So now we have that. We also have.
So you have students, you have students at Red Rock that are taking Yavapai College classes that they're not paying for.
Right. Because it's dual enrollment. And we have that with all the high
and,
schools.
And the taxpayers are not paying for it.
Taxpayers don't pay for it. It comes through. Basically, we have an arrangement with the school. So this, the parents do not have to pay for that. We're one of the few community colleges.
What percentage of the students pay?
I'd have to go back to ask James Perry that.
I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
No, but that's in the last 2 years we've developed that. We also have, and we want to go and support, Dave Lycan, the superintendent's plan to have a magnet school there for performing and visual arts. He's designed that. That's where your beautiful auditorium is there, et cetera. So we will help work with him on that. So we work very closely with the superintendents. So that's one thing. OLLI, as you mentioned, is a strong program. Over 400 people are here. They love OLLI. Sedona is a very, to me, a very special place in that people do not do the proverbial shuffleboard. They want to learn. They really don't care about credit, per se. Mm-hmm. They want to learn. And that came up time and time again with the collaborative. OLLI fits that model beautifully. I would love to take OLLI classes, but the person to my left likes me to work instead of enrolling in class. I mean, you teach each other and you rely on the strengths there. It fits beautifully here. We also, as I said, as we've referenced, we've got a campus, a comprehensive campus 11 miles away. We also have something new.
The campus
is
actually 18 miles away to 26 miles away.
Well, just hope that I don't get caught.
You folks can go on Google Earth and measure the distance yourself. I mean,
okay,
it's petty, but
I tend to go a little
miles away.
Yeah, okay. But the other part that is something new here, and that has to do with regional economic development. And when I arrived here, at best, in my opinion, Yavapai College had a shotgun approach. If you had a small business, if you had a large business, if you were thinking of coming here, if you had contacted the mayor of your town and said, hey, I want to go ahead and relocate my business, they are going to naturally look at a community college and say, hey, how about training and work? And it all depended on who you talked to. You didn't have one person. So we reorganized. And we have a new director of regional economic development. She lives in the area here. She comes down and she is at every, I see her very seldom in the sense she's going to every different community. But we have we've strengthened and hired a new director of small business development. And already we're seeing the effect. She is in every one of these towns. Now, some people, the citizens, have said, why does Yavapai College need this? You know, you've got an economic developer, except I think yours resigned a couple months ago to go back home. But it's another thing. We provide the support for that person, all the data, all the information about just how do they build the case, et cetera. And then we're at the table when new businesses come in, as well as we're retraining the workforce, meaning upgrading. We just signed a contract with Sturm Ruger to create 300 and some odd jobs. We're doing that throughout the county. And so
the small business development sections of colleges and community colleges is incredibly important. And it's certainly one of the places where the community meets the institution. Mm-hmm. On a regular basis, it's active and if it's
and
going,
it is.
And it's going strong.
Alex Wright, I would encourage you to have her on your program. Alex Wright, Alexandria Wright is fantastic, very strong, came out of Coconino. And I am very pleased with how that's developing it. I've raised horses.
There are many good things that the college does, and you talk some about it in your letter, I guess you called it editorial in the Verney Independent just a few days ago, and no argument with any of that. But what I want to, I think I'll get to the perception of the, first of all, institutional memory, you know, going back, those years that many of us can remember, when there was much more support in a set field, like people were marketing programs more. We saw more things on the radio. We saw more things in the newspaper. Yavapai College was way more active. So the critical things, the three critical things that I hear all the time for the last 15 years was shutting down programs and then claiming you had declining enrollment. In other words, or making the requirements for classes to make higher or variable so that even if you had, so that classes wouldn't make. Going, you know, cutting the basic services that community colleges used to do, the traditional services, auto shop, wood shop, but you having to go to Prescott to take a welding class, having to go to Prescott to take a mechanical class, is that, and then on top of that, if I'm going to get it all in making it really difficult to enroll. If I heard it once, I heard it a million times.
Wow.
The online enrollment wasn't working. This is like the healthcare website. And you couldn't get any help.
Yeah.
Now, I know that wasn't true. There was places they could go for help and people that were willing and that would love to help them. We're talking about perceptions here.
Yeah. Yeah.
The perception is that you're closing stuff in the Verde Valley and shifting everything to Prescott. If we look at strictly an economic model, that makes sense to concentrate everything in one area. But you're building campus after campus over in Prescott and you're cutting back here. I've been down to the campus there. It's a beautiful little campus. But it has a kind of abandoned feel to it. And when we talk to people, and we've interviewed quite a few people about what's happening, they feel abandoned. They feel that you're neglecting the Verde campus, that you're not putting the money and effort in it. And they say that it's very suspicious that everything works over in Prescott. You put in a program or a college, suddenly it works, and nothing works outside the Prescott area. And they say, well, why not give us the money and let us have our own college system over here? Give us the resources and we'll build a college system in the Verde Valley. Mm-hmm. And that way it'll be more responsive to community mm-hmm. needs than you can do all the way over in Prescott.
Well, I've certainly heard that proposition before, and there's a couple of problems I have with that because I live over here. And one of them is if we do send more money east then goes west. That's a fact. The proposition that we're throttling back our investments in the Verde Valley relative to what we collect in taxes is not true. We spend more money over here than we collect. So let's put that aside.
I don't really want to put that aside. If we're going to talk about those numbers, then I'd like to do an analysis of it. Otherwise, we can kind of go on. Okay. But I have some questions about those numbers that I was given.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, maybe,
I don't mean to be cranky about it, but
sure.
But you have allocated expenses.
Well, yes, and I think those are something that we really ought to look at, because one of the things that would happen, and I guess we probably should run those numbers, is if we were going to contemplate saying the Verde Valley was going to basically stand on its own, it's going to have to hire a whole bunch of people for doing those functions, purchasing, HR, facilities. I mean, the amount of people that we'd have to have over here to do those centralized functions, that's one of the advantages of a large organization, is being able to spread those costs over a broad area.
But you understand,
area.
When you say you're spending the money on the Verde campus, much of that's money. Last year, $2 million is allocated expenses.
Right.
I worked in business. How you allocate expenses is, what did I say, subjecting to extremely different interpretations, what allocated expenses are. And $2 million of that is spent over in the Verde Valley. It's spent over in Prescott. Mm-hmm. It's not actually spent here. Secondly,
there are costs that are incurred here that have to be paid.
Of course.
So they can't be avoided.
Of course.
Maybe we'd ought to do another program with Clint here. I just want to address the main things.
Sure, go ahead, Harold.
Yeah, go ahead. We don't have to discuss the figures anymore.
My main interest in talking about this stuff at this point is I really want to hear these kind of ideas and these kind of things coming back from the community, so we can say, as we go forward with this mm-hmm. 10-year master plan, what sounds like a good idea to the communities? What doesn't? My responsibility, stand up and say I'm going to do this job, is to represent the taxpayers of this county. That's what I'm supposed to do, and I really have tried to do that. I'm used to not being the smartest guy in the room. I sat there with all these people, I got all these fancy letters behind their names, and my main role is, I figure if they've got to explain it well enough that I can understand it, then anybody can understand it.
Yeah.
That's what I try to do. So I'm sitting here going, I've got all three of my kids have gone to this college in the Verde Valley. I do not think that I have tried to damage the Verde Valley educational system. My youngest daughter's doing that right now. I'd love to have more facilities and programs over here on the Verde Valley. You bet I would. But I got to look the taxpayers in the eye and say, this is how we're going to pay for this. This is a benefit that we can give for a certain amount of money. That's what we try to do every day. The other thing I want to bring up right now, and I know Penny's probably going to slap me out of my chair, is I sat there last Wednesday, and I heard Bob Oliphant and Ruth Wick say that the taxpayers of the Verde Valley are getting zero benefit for their tax dollars at that campus. That offends me. That is nonsense. They said it twice. I challenged her on it once. What she's saying is those people that have been out there for the last 35 years educating people in this county, changing their lives every day, are offering zero value. I find that to be offensive.
I will agree that if she said that, that would be.
But I doubt she said it. No,
she said it twice.
She misspoke.
And I challenged her once.
She misspoke because obviously lots of people get benefit, but what we're talking about is.
Just 1 second. Let me just ask Harold for your opinion. So you think it's a really bad idea. I mean, I don't think Mike and I have a position on this. We hear people who want to have a completely separate college district that can be focused over here.
We're talking about one meeting, and they haven't, I don't think believe anybody was talking about duplicating HR or duplicating purchasing. The smart thing would be to keep those for services to not duplicate them. I believe an administrative split dealt more with programs. That's the complaint, I guess. The main complaint would be programs offered and maybe some capital investment because you need things to offer those programs. But that would be I'm speaking for a committee that is I'm not on and has had one meeting. And yes, it was two of your biggest critics, Oliphant and Wicks, who raised some legitimate questions. We may need another show because we haven't even got to their some of their questions yet that I think we'd like to talk about on the air.
Keep in mind what we're doing here as far as programs, and let's look at that. I would imagine there's three that you're thinking of. One, the whole viticulture and enology program. That is something that is in Verde, and I just spent all day Saturday in the vineyards enjoying it, et cetera. And this area is one of the key things, key industries. Is here. That in Wilcox, we go ahead and are supportive of that. We'd be remiss if we didn't do a program in that. It fits the community. It's both
I'm an avid supporter of that industry.
Yes.
We've done a show about
drift.
So here's something that the Verde
wine
campus.
Industry coming to the Verde Valley.
Yeah, the Verde campus is it. I mean, it's wonderful. In August, we'll invite you to our ribbon cutting of the actual wine building and everything. And so that's moving there. I've been working very diligently with Dr. Shane Burgess, the dean of the College of Agriculture. Ag is coming here. It will go ahead and be updated. It just won't be take the programs out of Chino and move them here. We're updating Ag, including the cooperative extension, et cetera, to go ahead and be much more supportive of what's happening. Through that, we can go ahead and address some of the big issues of water, power, et cetera, energy, all that.
How do you answer the critics that, as far as agriculture is concerned, you're teaching skills of the 19th century in the 21st century?
Well, that's why we need to go ahead and look at that. I mean, you know, and so that partnership with Ag. Yeah. So that's why the partnership with U of A is so important. That's coming here. The program that you'll probably be most concerned about, and I'm sure Bob and Ruth picked that up, was nursing. And let's just put it out there.
Yeah, that's
nursing. Yeah,
absolutely.
In reality,
one of the largest folks, one of the largest, most successful programs.
Okay, let me just give you some data.
I never thought you'd cut back on nursing.
Okay. Keep in mind, first of all, we're all personally very much interested in health care. Whether you call it one word or the Affordable Care Act, whatever, it's us.
Got it.
So it is one of the most expensive programs. It's changing like crazy. The other part to that is that what we are proposing in the 10-year plan is that we bring forces together and have an allied health hub. The four hospitals have been part of that. The JTED has been part of it. Also, NAU. And I have a meeting this afternoon with the president of NAU again to talk about that. They want to bring in programs to this and build on the NAU-YC partnership, that special three-year program that was started years ago, about 4 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, to build that and bring two very key programs into that that they can offer at the master's and doctoral level. So we bring that in. They're not going to go ahead and say, oh, we can have it in here and here and here and here. It's into a hub. Now, let's go back to the Verde. We will still offer the sciences. We say, and we will still offer the first year of nursing on this campus. The clinicals will still be over here. They'll be spread. And then the reality again, back to what I said about online education. In 5 years, who knows what's going to happen with technology? We may be able to teach this all in hybrid classes or online. Who knows? At that point, because the technology is improving so much. So it's not like, my God, we're ripping these poor children out of the arms of their mothers and just, you know, dragging them by their hair over to Prescott. No. Plus, we've got to think of where this whole county is. And if we're from, you know, the whole county, we have people in, you know, where the mine is, Baghdad to Seligman to Black Canyon City to here, to here, to here. Where is the most accessible place by transportation as well, and where's the population? And so we looked at the Prescott Valley area, not in Prescott Valley per se. We don't know. We haven't even decided where the land's going to be. But to look at that and to go ahead and bring the Board of Regents institutions into this as well. And so I'm in discussions. In 2 months, I'll be going down to U of A, to the medical school, as well as already had discussions with ASU. To bring them in to go ahead and say, what can we do to help for healthcare all the way across our area? I don't think it's going to stop just in this area as far as Yavapai County. Northern Arizona needs it too. Well, healthcare so is just is a very.
The thing about online courses is it doesn't matter where you take them. In other words, insofar as you folks move from being personal, engaging the students, and talking to them and getting students who are maybe tentative students going and offer them online courses, you're offering something. I did a Google search and there was like 92 million online credit course hits. So if you move to that model, then your uniqueness, the most unique thing about Yavapai College is what? It's in Yavapai County.
Yes.
The most unique thing is that you're accessible. That won't change. Mm-hmm. If you have personal education of student, that's not going to change. If you shift more and more and more to online, you're offering courses that I can take it from anywhere, right?
Yes and no. You want to look for quality. And I'm very proud that this institution went ahead as part of its accreditation process, studied that for 20 courses that did face-to-face and online. Same teacher. Everything. So they went ahead and studied that for 3 years. The results of that study were very positive about the strength of our programs.
Okay, we can see fingers flying around here. We have so much more to talk about. I'm going to, here at the end of the show, I'm going to talk about, at the last public meeting, you talked about a 4% tuition increase and a 2% tax increase. Those figures alone mean that we probably should have another conversation sometime when Dr. Penelope Wills and Harold Harrington have some time. So we've been talking to this morning, and maybe we can continue this dialogue. I think there's lots of good information coming out. I'd like to, like I said, we have other stuff. Good, the fact that you're expanding nursing is great news. Mm-hmm. That you're partnering with some of the universities, but and all that's positive stuff. And we do want to balance. But we still want to talk about what's happening in Sedona, what's happening in the Verde Valley. We want to do some more of that.
We have an announcement.
We do have an announcement. We have
we want to thank Democrats of the Red Rocks, Democrats of the Verde Valley for
we do want
their
to
support,
thank them.
And all our other donors and supporters.
They write us checks.
Oh, my gosh, Mike.
And, you know,
we have one
Penny
major
and Harold would agree, those kind of people get a little attention. We are putting out a movie, a free movie. The Sedona Library, we're doing this as co-sponsored with the Sierra Club, the Grand Canyon chapter of the Sierra Club. It's called Wild versus Wall. Tucson-based filmmaker began working on this film in January 2007. This is about the wall at the border and some of the environmental problems that it causes.
You can listen to all our shows on podcasts on our
VVID.org. You can have this show and all of our other great shows and some not so great shows are on VVID.org.
And thank also you. On iTunes. Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.